Hey there, and welcome to the Therapy Podcast. I'm Dr. B, your host and licensed mental health therapist. In each episode, we're diving into the real, raw, and relatable aspects of mental health. We're talking about triggers, coping strategies, and how to handle the emotional roller coaster that we call life. Because let's face it, mental health is not separate from our daily lives, it's a part of it. So if you're ready to talk about it, you're in the right place. Let's go.
And it's okay not to be okay.
One in five adults experience mental illness. One in five.
No one can ever use your mental illness against you.
We have to have trust that people can help.
I just got a grasp on it in the past year because I've been dealing with anxiety my whole life, so I started going to therapy for it.
But I think the most important thing I got is that everything is connected.
My mom has dealt with anxiety, so a lot of times stuff is within your family, but if you never named it, if you didn't...
And then it's up to us to show compassion, to reach out, connect, help folks find the hope and the support they need.
Hello there, and welcome back to another episode of the Therapy Podcast. I am your host, Dr. B. So today we're going to talk about something that is like extremely close and personal to me. I've been in a space or season since the beginning of 2024. Well, if I'm being honest, I've actually been in this space a lot longer. Maybe since September-ish, right? So I've just been in this space for a while where I've just been kind of like riding the wave. just riding the wave of life, balancing losses, tough interpersonal relationships, including like friendships, romantic relationships, etc., work stressors. And I probably landed on January from the perspective of like, that's when I crashed. And so I wanted to take some time and really talk about what it looks and feels like to be in God's waiting room. So, you know that feeling. You've prayed, you've fasted, you have followed every teaching that you know, you have considered and looked back on how God did it before and how he's going to do it again, but right now God just seems so silent. And it sucks. But let me just affirm one thing right off the bat. Silence does not equate to absence. But picture this. Sometimes the teacher is quietest during the test, and perhaps God's silence is an invitation for us to trust deeper, to listen harder to what isn't being said, but is being done within us and for us. A lot of times we find ourselves in God's waiting room when we are making a request or wanting a change, and it's just kind of like, God, I need you to do this thing for me. Like, I need you to make it shake, right? We've all been there, sitting in this metaphorical waiting room of life where the divine receptionist has stepped away. Your number has not been called yet. The clocks on the wall are ticking, and the moments just seem to stretch into eternity. And I found myself wondering a little bit that, like, you know, God's waiting room has everything to do with his divine timing. But sometimes I also wonder, like, is it the fact that we're still waiting or that we're not listening? Because we can be so hyper-focused on looking for ways to connect to God, and I'm going to listen to this sermon, and I'm going to fast here, and I'm going to do these devotionals, I'm going to do this, that there are just so many messages coming all at once to the point where we can't tune into the message and the voice that matters. So whether you're still sitting in the waiting room because you are truly waiting to hear from God, or you are unable to discern God from all of the other noise, the reality is it doesn't feel good, right? God's silence can fill us with sometimes more doubt and fear when we feel like things are just not happening according to our own personal timelines. So let's talk about what makes God's waiting room so hard. First and foremost, the most obvious is the fear of the unknown. Anytime that we feel like we are desperately wanting something, no matter how long it takes, it's going to feel like it's just taking way too long, right? This isn't happening quick enough. This is uncomfortable. And what if the idea of your wait has everything to do with renewing your strength, right? And if that is the case, I want you to pause and take a moment to think, like, what is it in your life that possibly could use some renewing? Or is it possible that the waiting room is taking so long because whatever prayer you prayed, you asked God to move some things and your healing or your number being called in the waiting room is not just dependent on you? That's when things get a little tricky. Think about this. What if the very thing that you have been praying for involves a shift, not just within you, but in someone else's life? Imagine a puzzle piece being shifted so that it's perfectly with yours. And what if the transformation that you're seeking could very well be hinged on another person's growth or decision that seems unrelated at first glance? Sometimes when we're rushing God, we tend to think that he doesn't care about us, that he's not listening to us, but all good things take time. All good things take time. And what if I told you that sometimes the breakthrough that you have been waiting for is just on the other side of God doing a work in another person's life? One of the hardest things to experience when you're in God's waiting room is seeing somebody else's number get called first. Especially if they came in that thing after you, right? Like, there's nothing that drives us crazy more than seeing somebody who showed up after me be served. Seeing somebody who doesn't pray like you or go to church like you or worship and fast like you get called first. But God's waiting room isn't about who showed up first. It's about the need that needs to be met. And sometimes, just because we aren't sitting in the same metaphorical waiting room and we don't see it, what if the number that's being called before yours is somebody else in your life who God needs to change them first before he can get to you? What if? And if that's the case, are you willing to dig your heels in for a different level of patience and say, God, I trust every moving piece that you are making? Because yes, waiting on someone else might add to the weight, but wouldn't you rather have the full blessing or the full recovery, the full answered prayer, and not just pieces of it, not just something that you are going to have to go back and ask God for more of later? When you find yourself in this space, the most important thing that you can do for yourself is to remind yourself of God's divine timing. Our stories are interwoven with so many people, some that we know, some that we don't know, in ways that we may not understand. There is a reason for your wait. And it's very well possible that someone else's growth might be key to your breakthrough. The second thing that I want to talk about is part of being in the waiting room, God's waiting room for so long, has nothing to do with God not listening to our request, but it has everything to do with us not listening out for our number to be called. Sometimes God has done everything but sat on the corner of your bed to wave a white flag and say, hey, get out of this thing. get out of this relationship, this job, this friendship, this fight, like get out of this thing or move to the next city, to the next state. Take the trip, do the thing. Like sometimes God has given every single sign, but because we are looking for something so specific, we don't hear God call our number. So what do we do? How do you sustain your mental health and wellness during the wait? The waiting period can weigh so heavily on our mental wellness. But here, we'll talk a little bit about strategies that thrive within the stillness. One, dive more into your mindful practices. Prayer and meditation can ground us. Deep breathing can ground us. Journaling our thoughts and our progress. Being mindful to celebrate the small things, the small wins, the small answers. These are things that will help you to stay present in the process. Secondly, take care of yourself. Taking care of your temple honors God. While you're in the waiting room, don't get distracted with things that are unhealthy coping skills, right? Don't lean into more drinking. Don't lean into more substance use. Don't lean into more riskier behaviors. Take care of your temple. In order for us to be able to hear and receive what God has for us, we have to be in tune and present to do so. Routines and habits can also instill peace with us while we wait. Patience is not just merely waiting. It's about maintaining a positive attitude while you wait. And so we talked about how prayer can be an anchor and meditation and grounding can center us. You want to be sure that you establish a routine that incorporates these things consistently during your wait. Then you want to activate gratitude every single day. What is something that you're grateful for? These silver linings can alter your perspective, transforming how you are able to view your time in the waiting room from a hindrance to a period with rich blessings. And the next time you hear someone else's number getting called, instead of you getting upset and frustrated about it, you are realizing that, like, I'm next. It's getting closer and closer to me. While you're in the waiting room, keep growing. Use this as a time and an opportunity for personal development. Read all those books that you bought that you've never started. Start the fitness challenge. Get on that Peloton that you're paying for and probably not getting all your money's worth with. Growth doesn't just halt because we are sitting in God's waiting room. Seek joy every day. Joy is not something that is reserved for monumental occasions. It's in the everyday moments. Seeking joy in some ways goes hand in hand with practicing gratitude. Find joy in the warmth of the sun, the sound of laughter, eating your favorite dish. Cherish the simple pleasures of life, allowing you to be grateful for the many ways that God is blessing you in real time every single day. And then you have to stay connected. Isolation can amplify the feeling of stagnation. And I am so guilty for this. So guilty. When I am going through a rough time, I struggle with sharing it with people, not because I don't want to confide in my friends or my family, right? But it's because sometimes I just want to sit in my stuff and literally cry out loud. And I don't want to have to do that next to someone else, right? But that isolation can truly amplify the feeling of stagnation. So stay connected to your loved ones, your friends, your community. It's okay to take space and reserve time for yourself, but don't isolate yourself. Mental health thrives on support and connection. So the next time someone says, "How are you?" don't underestimate the power of saying more than just, "I'm okay." So how do we begin to understand the purpose of the waiting room? Well, waiting is not passive, it's active. And that is where most people get tripped up. When we feel like we are waiting on an answer for God, we just stop moving. When things were feeling like really rough for me and people close to me would ask how I was doing, I would say, "I'm coasting. I'm here." Right? It was passive. Your job is to trust that the waiting room is a greenhouse where you're being primed for future prosperity. Do you remember Joseph in the pit or Sarah in her old age? Their waiting rooms were literally preludes to their purposes. So you have to reframe your mind about what it truly means to be sitting in God's waiting room. You're not just there for waiting, but you're becoming. You're not being overlooked, you're being prepared. You're not being forgotten, you're being fortified. And sometimes when things are getting hard, it's not meant for us to say, "God, why me?" Right? It's more so meant for us to say, "God, what do you want me to learn from this?" Sometimes it's not meant for us to do the most typical thing that everyone else does, right? Sometimes it's meant for us to lean in and say, "God, am I supposed to be doing something completely different?" And not just wanting an answer so badly that you instantly go do the thing that everyone else is doing. Trust in the journey. If you are present in the waiting room, you are able to learn valuable lessons designed specifically for you. But if you are pessimistic in the waiting room, you won't receive anything while you're there. This waiting room is not just a place of halted expectations. This is a place where our faith can flourish under careful and divine observations, even when it seems silent. And as we kind of wrap up for today, remember that each moment of silence is a note in the sympathy of your life's purpose. Everything that God does is intentional. Everything. So the next time that you find yourself complaining about being in God's waiting room, I challenge you to change your perspective. Lean in a little harder. Check yourself out the door. Adjust your crown, kings and queens, and say, "I'm going to do this the right way." So, until next time, live well, be well, and know that in the grand scheme of things, your number is almost ready to be called. I hope that you leave this podcast episode feeling a little lighter, a bit more patient, and abundantly more hopeful. Until next time, friends.